Welcome in, podcast listeners. Appreciate all of you hanging out with us. We have got an absolutely loaded show for you, breaking down the AFC and the NFC championship games. Sean Merriman lights out himself, plus Jeff Fisher, formerly of the Titans and the Rams in the NFL, break down the games with us. What is the legacy of Brady at this point? What about Mahomes? All that and more. Also want to let you know, Virginia and Michigan both live now for sports gambling. You can go bet at FanDuel.com/Clay. That's FanDuel.com/Clay. This is Outkick, and the podcast begins now.
Outkick the coverage with Clay Travis live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the coverage at FoxSportsRadio.com. Or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
All right, let's just break this down in its most elemental and basic level. Tom Brady answered a question this year that if you are a football fan, you have been debating with your buddies for the last 20 years or so. Who was more responsible for the New England Patriot dynasty, Tom Brady or Bill Belichick? And the answer, I am telling you, is decided forever in my mind. It is Tom Brady. Because what he has done this year, if you are a Tampa Bay Buccaneer fan, you could not have hoped for anything better than this. Three straight wins on the road against Washington, New Orleans, and Green Bay. And I know Brady was not extraordinary, and there are still some Tom Brady haters out there. But Brady has answered three, to me, cardinal questions that have existed in the world of sports for a long time. The first one, okay? The first one was what I just said. Who's the most responsible for the New England Patriot dynasty? To me, Brady has answered that question. But for the past 6 or 7 years, we've been debating who's the greatest quarterback of all time. And it was really Tom Brady versus Peyton Manning for a long time. And I'll admit, I was a Peyton Manning guy for a long time. It now, beyond a shadow of a doubt, is Tom Brady as he goes to his 10th Super Bowl. And I'm going to run through several stats for you eventually. But Tom Brady, the creator of the greatest dynasty, also now the greatest quarterback of all time. And I believe, and maybe we'll unpack this more throughout the week, and certainly after the Super Bowl we'll be able to have a debate, but I believe that Tom Brady is now the greatest American pro sports team athlete of all time. Now, I think there are other guys you can put into that debate. For a long time, I would have said Michael Jordan, because Jordan and what he did with the Bulls, 6 titles in 8 years, I think that Jordan has now been eclipsed, in all honesty, with the performance that he has, that Tom Brady has made. This would have been like if Jordan had gone to the Washington Wizards and suddenly taken them to the NBA Finals. We knew how good Jordan was with the Bulls, and I know he retired and took a couple of years off, but a lot of us, myself included, kind of pretend those Wizards years didn't really happen for Michael Jordan. When Brady went to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, this was a team that hadn't been to the playoffs in 12 years. This was a team without a culture of winning at all. This was a team coming off of a losing record with a former number one draft pick in Jameis Winston, who had thrown 30 touchdowns and 30 interceptions. There was absolutely no reason to believe that in any way the Tampa Bay Buccaneers were going to be able to be in their home stadium for the Super Bowl. Now, older people can say, hey, we can talk about Bill Russell. There are all different sorts of American pro sport team athletes that you could toss out. And again, I'm not talking about individual. I'm not talking about Serena Williams. I'm not talking about Roger Federer or Rafael Nadal or Michael Phelps or any of the Olympians. I'm talking about just an American pro sports team athlete. I don't think there is anybody else even in the stratosphere of where we are right now with what Tom Brady has been able to accomplish. And there are so many different crazy stats that I want to hit you with that are going to blow your mind right here about Brady and the Bucs. And by the way, we're going to talk about Aaron Rodgers. We're going to talk about Patrick Mahomes. There's obviously a bunch of different storylines out there. Josh Allen as well, as we unpack everything in the AFC and in the NFC championship games. But here's a few stats for you that I think you're just going to hear and you're going to be like, doesn't sound real. Brady is going to play in his 10th Super Bowl in 19 seasons as a full-time starter. Brady, this is from Jeff Howe on Twitter. Brady has been more likely to play in a Super Bowl 52.6% of his full seasons as a starter. He's been in the Super Bowl than Michael Jordan was to hit a shot. I mean, that is pretty extraordinary in many different respects to break that down. NFC Championship game wins. Aaron Rodgers won. Drew Brees won. Tom Brady won. Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees are first ballot NFL Hall of Fame quarterbacks. They played their entire career so far in the NFC. In his first year in the NFC, Tom Brady has as many NFC championships as they do. I mean, that just doesn't even sound like it should be possible or should be real in any way. I mean, that is utter insanity. That is another crazy stat for you. Career postseason wins over NFC teams. Brett Favre has 12. Aaron Rodgers, 10. Joe Montana, 10. Tom Brady has 9. He's only played in the AFC. Obviously, he's gotten wins, 6 of them in the Super Bowl, and now 3 of them this year, such that he almost has as many postseason wins in the NFC as Aaron Rodgers does in his entire career and as Joe Montana does in his entire career. Here's a stat that I saw, and I was like, this cannot be real life. When Tom Brady won his first Super Bowl in 2002, Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen were both in kindergarten. Kindergarten. That is how long ago that position was. That is just unbelievable to even think about that as being a possibility. Kindergarten. It's absolute insanity. Tom Brady's Super Bowl appearances match the combined total of Joe Montana, Peyton Manning, Aaron Rodgers, and Dan Marino. All of those guys combined, who we know are among the greatest quarterbacks who have ever played the game, Joe Montana, Peyton Manning, Aaron Rodgers, and Dan Marino combined have the same number of appearances in the Super Bowl as Tom Brady. Nobody. Brady has now played in 10 Super Bowls, second best in the history of the NFL in the Super Bowl era is John Elway, who has 5. He doubled him. Tom Brady did. I mean, the amount of superlatives that we can bring to bear here for Tom Brady is truly off the charts at this point in time, such that it's difficult to even quantify or even compare how dominant he has been relative to anybody else out there in the larger stratosphere of the NFL. And to do it in this year, among all years, it was always going to be insanely difficult to go to a new place to work. But to manage to pull this off in a COVID year, when you don't have as much time in the offseason to work with your teammates, when there are all different sorts of rules that restrict your ability to have a normal existence, is a flat-out unbelievable accomplishment in so many different respects that it's hard to even contemplate how good and how incredible and how phenomenal Tom Brady has been. Such that, again, I think you break down that trio and you say, Brady is not only the greatest quarterback in NFL history, he is also, as you run through it, the reason for the New England Patriot dynasty, more important by far than Bill Belichick, who, by the way, has a losing record as a head coach in the NFL now without Tom Brady. And also, I think that Tom Brady, with this 10th appearance in the Super Bowl, certainly if he wins it, has passed Michael Jordan as the greatest American pro sports team athlete of all time. And again, you contextualize inside of the sport itself that he plays, nobody is actually able to be there with as much time and as much energy and as much effort as he's brought to bear here. It truly is an absolutely extraordinary situation to put into that context. So as you break all this down, it is truly remarkable to think about what Tom Brady has accomplished. Now, on the other side of the Super Bowl, when you think about Patrick Mahomes, who, as I said, was in kindergarten when Tom Brady won his first Super Bowl, Patrick Mahomes may be able to make a claim in some way to be the next Tom Brady, right? I don't think that's a crazy analogy. Mahomes has played in three straight AFC championship games. He's going to his second straight Super Bowl. The Chiefs are running at an unbelievable clip. They are winning whatever it is, 25 out of the last 26. Look up the number exactly. Maybe it's 26 out of 27. I mean, there's nobody that is really playing at the level that the Chiefs are. And maybe down the line, we will think about Patrick Mahomes as being able to challenge Tom Brady. But it's going to take about 15 or 20 years of sustained excellence from Patrick Mahomes in order for that even to be a reality at all, any possibility whatsoever. That is an unbelievable stage of dominance to have to be there. I mean, we talk all the time about really good, let's say, NBA teams. Remember, we sat back and we talked about the Golden State Warriors going 73-9. They had hardly any stretches of time in basketball when they won as many games as we saw the Chiefs win in their last 27. Almost no sport out there has anybody won 26 out of 27 games. That's unheard of, especially in the NFL. What's going on right now? Nobody does it. The Chiefs are winning at a level that has virtually never occurred in the history of the NFL. And unlike, let's say, Major League Baseball or certainly the NBA or a place like that, where there are no, you know, the difference between teams can be substantial, right? There's no opportunities in the NFL where you can just show up and win, right? I mean, when you actually break it down, there are a lot of NBA games where one team is 15 points better than the other. That doesn't happen hardly ever in the NFL. The line between success and failure is minuscule. And so as you just sit around and think about what these Kansas City Chiefs are accomplishing, we truly are seeing almost no one ever having done it before. 26-1 in their last 27. It's off the charts level success. And then you pair that with Brady going up against Patrick Mahomes, who may one day be his heir apparent. It is just incredible to even think about the way that that is all shaking down. So in general, just an absolutely phenomenal performance so far that we saw from both those guys. I can't wait to see what's going to happen going forward with both of them. But that is not the only big storylines here. For sure, we got to dive into the decision-making that happened down the stretch in the NFC Championship game. The decision, which is just an utterly ridiculous one in my mind, to do what they did to punt and to decide to kick the field goal there is absolutely crazy. And Dub, you led me astray there. You said it's 25-1, not 26-1.
Yeah, I got fat fingers, Clay, so forgive me on that one, but I mean,
either way, 25, yeah. They're going for 26-1 in the Super Bowl. 25-1, 26-1, 24-1, whatever it is, we've literally hardly ever seen that level of dominance with Patrick Mahomes as the starting quarterback. And I know the Chiefs lost their final game against the Chargers, but let's be honest, the reason why that happened was because Patrick Mahomes wasn't playing and the Chiefs were taken off the game. So that is just an unbelievable level of accomplishment. All right, so we got a great Super Bowl. I can't wait to see what's going to happen. We're going to be breaking that down a lot for 2 weeks.
This is Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
We talked about Mahomes a little bit, Brady quite a bit. But to me, one of the biggest storylines and the most difficult storylines that is out there is the Green Bay Packers. Because, and we'll talk about Josh Allen in a little bit, but when you get this close to the Super Bowl, it can be an unbelievably difficult loss to have to stomach. And it's one thing if you are Josh Allen and you're a Bills fan and you're waking up this Monday morning. Because if I had told Bills fans when their season was starting, you guys are going to win two playoff games. You're going to go 13-3 in the regular season. And you're going to be in the AFC Championship game. But you're going to lose to the Kansas City Chiefs on the road in Arrowhead. And as a result, you won't make the Super Bowl. I think almost every single Buffalo Bill fan would have signed up for that season. And if I also told them, hey, during the course of the regular season, Josh Allen is going to have an incredible renaissance as a passer. And in year three, he's going to go from a 59% passer to a 69% passer. I think everybody in all of Buffalo would have been ecstatic about that. So it's tough to lose in this AFC Championship game if you are a Bill fan, from Josh Allen and from Stephon Diggs on the offensive side of the ball in particular. You won your first two playoff games in a quarter century. Yes, it stinks to get close to the Super Bowl and lose, but I think you have to be ecstatic over what you saw this year. Not so much for Aaron Rodgers. We're going to play you some audio here in a moment. But for Aaron Rodgers, I think you could see it on the field that he's aware that there's a very good chance that this could be his last best chance to have gone to another Super Bowl. And when you're 24 or 25 and you lose, you know how difficult it is to even get to the AFC or the NFC Championship game. Unless, by the way, you're Tom Brady. You just don't get, or maybe Patrick Mahomes, you just don't get very many opportunities to put yourself in a position to play for a Super Bowl. And Aaron Rodgers is an unquestioned first ballot NFL Hall of Famer. He is probably going to be the NFL MVP this year. But I guarantee you that he feels incredibly sick to his stomach when he wakes up this morning. And I guarantee you he has difficulty sleeping after this game. And if he goes back and he watches this game, there are so many things that are going to feel like gut punches to him. But in particular, I think the Packers lost this game because of the way they finished the first half and because of the way they finished the game. A lot of people are going to focus on the second half decision to kick a field goal, and we're certainly going to talk about that as well. I will get to that in a moment. But the first thing that I think it is worth focusing on is the way that the Packers finished the first half. They had the Bucs with no timeouts left. All they had to do was make a tackle inbounds and the half would have run out and they would have gone in down 4 points at the half, 14-10. Not ideal, but they would have been getting the ball to start the second half. They would have not played well in the first half and they would have known, hey, we can take the ball and score to start the second half and we'll have the lead. Instead, unbelievably indefensible defense that they had on the field that ended up going for a touchdown to put them down 21-10. And you know things are bad when even Tony Dungy, who is one of the nicest guys in the entirety of the NFL, when he comes out and tweets that may be the worst defensive design I've ever seen with 8 seconds. I think there's actually 6 seconds. 8 seconds and no timeouts left. Green Bay, I'm not sure how you play inside technique man-to-man and not just play zone and protect the sideline and the end zone. Amazing. And not amazing in a good way. You can't have the half end that way. And so to put yourself in a position where you allow Tom Brady to throw a touchdown pass there and put you down 21-10 was an indefensibly bad defensive call and defensive execution. And look, the defense is not helping the player out at all, but you also, as a player, have to be intelligent enough to recognize that you're bailing on that play and you're not going to let anybody get behind you. So that if the ball is thrown up almost Hail Mary style, that you are at least there to be able to make a play on the ball. If you get beaten on a Hail Mary, that stinks, but the percentage chances of a completion are low. A lot of focus at the end of the game, but to me, that play is the one that I would want to go back and change more than any other for the Packers in that ball game, really. Because that's the one where all of the percentages should have been in your favor to go into the end zone. Sorry, go into the locker room down 14-10. Instead, you give up a touchdown there. The other one, the LaFleur decision to kick the field goal on 4th and 8. Now, we can talk about on 3rd down. It looks like if Aaron Rodgers runs the ball, he might have been able to score on 3rd and 8 there and give his team a chance to go for 2. And certainly the tip ball, but narrowly tipped by Sue on the 2-point conversion, should have still been caught. Would have been a 6-point game instead of if they had just kicked the extra point. There's all these different moving parts. But to me, the way I think about football decisions is, would my opponent be ecstatic with the choice that I am making? If the answer is yes, then I should try to do that as rarely as possible. Every single Tampa Bay Buccaneer fan who is listening to us right now, when they saw the Green Bay Packers run on their kicking team to make it a 5-point game so that best case scenario, you knew that you were going to have to get a stop against Tom Brady or else the game was over, I can't imagine how ecstatic you guys were. And with 2.5 minutes basically to play, 2:20, whatever the heck it was, to allow a situation where Aaron Rodgers does not get the ball for the remainder of the game is, to me, an indefensible choice. And even if you get the ball back, you knew you were going to have to drive basically, likely, the length of the field in order to be in a position to give Aaron Rodgers a chance to get the game tied or to get the win again. To me, you don't take the ball out of his hand there. Even if you don't convert on that 4th down play, you are pinning the Tampa Bay Buccaneers back deep inside of their own 10 better than you can do with a kickoff. And you then have an opportunity still with the 2-minute warning as well as with 3 timeouts to force Tampa Bay to try to get a 1st down or punt back to you. Sometimes I think coaches make such awful decisions on the sideline when it comes to maximizing their chances to win. And we saw this in the wild card round with Mike Vrabel and with Mike Tomlin, both of whom punted on 4th and short, trailing late in those games. And to have Matt LaFleur decide to trot out his kicker and to make it a 5-point game, I couldn't believe it when I was watching it live. I really couldn't believe that that was the choice that was made. And so, I believe we have Aaron Rodgers discussing that choice and what he thought about it. Let's listen to that right here.
Aaron, did you agree with the decision to kick it there on fourth down?
Well, I didn't have a decision on that one. Yeah, that wasn't my decision. But I understand the thinking above 2 minutes with all of our timeouts, but yeah, that wasn't my decision.
You could hear the pain in Aaron Rodgers' voice as he talked about that. Now, I'm sure that when Aaron Rodgers goes back and re-examines this game, he's going to feel sick about any number of different plays that either were or weren't made in the game that led to the Green Bay Packers losing that football game at home. But to have a head coach not allow you to be on the field for a 4th-and-8 conversion attempt, I think Aaron Rodgers probably would have wanted to stay on the field if he had been a player coach and he had gotten to make that call on fourth down. And I think it would have been the right call, because we have watched Tom Brady play football now for 20 years in the NFL. How many times have you wanted Tom Brady to have the ball with a chance to win when you voluntarily are making that choice? When you have an opportunity to go for it and make a big-time play in a crucible moment of a game, you have to do it. And I thought that moment was too big for Matt LaFleur and that he choked on the opportunity. And I bet when Matt LaFleur goes back and watches that game, he will look at that scenario and say, you know what, we got it wrong there. Because once you gave Tom Brady the opportunity to not have to give you the ball back, you didn't control the outcome of the game anymore. You really didn't. And so, to me, that is, if I'm a Packer fan, I know everybody's going to be focused on, hey, should they have called the pass interference on the tug and everything else associated with that, because they kind of swallowed their whistle in that game in general. And I understand why Packer fans are upset. I'm a big control what you can control guy. You can't control the decisions that an official make. It's frustrating when an official gets a game call wrong in a game, and it may well swing the outcome. I don't think, by the way, that was the wrong call. I think they might have missed some earlier calls, but I think when you got a guy full handful of jersey pulling, you got to call that there, even though it took a while for the flag to come in. But you got to control what you can control. And in that situation, in that scenario, what you can control is you can snap the ball to your Hall of Fame quarterback on 4th-and-8 with all of the talented players on the offensive side of the ball for the Green Bay Packers, and you can give them an opportunity to make a play. You can control that. That is 1,000,000,000% within your field of view. You can't control whether an official throws a flag. You can't control the decisions that the other teams make on going for it on fourth down or whatever it might be. Look at what Bruce Arians did at the end of that first half. He gave his team a chance to make an opportunity. He coached aggressively, and the Green Bay Packers collapsed and gave up a touchdown. And compare that with the way that Matt LaFleur coached at the end of the game. He did not give his team and his all-star and his Hall of Fame first ballot quarterback, who's the MVP of the league. I can't imagine having to watch that tape all over again and knowing that Aaron Rodgers did not have the ball with a chance to do anything for the final 2 minutes of that game. I just can't imagine what a sick feeling to your stomach that would be in that scenario. And I think, Dub, we have one more audio clip, not to just totally rain on every Packer fan parade, but I think we have one more audio clip of Aaron Rodgers, if I'm not mistaken. Is that right?
That's correct. Talking about his future with the Packers and such.
And we're going to spend a lot of time talking about that and what might happen with Aaron Rodgers and his future. But here he is. And by the way, to be fair, Matt LaFleur says he wants Aaron Rodgers back. That's no great surprise. And maybe Aaron Rodgers just feeling a great deal of depression after this game, which you could certainly understand the weight of not being able to go to the Super Bowl, his first ever NFC championship at home in Lambeau. He feels like he has the better team. They did not get the win. Here is what Aaron Rodgers had to say about whether or not he'll be back in the with the Packers come September.
So how do you go on from here? I mean, you kind of hit on some of the realities a minute ago. So how do you go on from here? How do you take the next step?
Yeah, Bill, that's a good question. I don't know. I really don't. There's a lot of unknowns going into this offseason now. And I'm going to have to take some time away for sure and clear my head and just kind of see what's going on with everything. But it's pretty tough right now, especially thinking about the guys that may or may not be here next year. There's always change. That's the only constant in this business. It's really tough to get to this point. Really, really tough. Especially with it only being one bye week in the playoffs. It's a grind just to get to this point. And that makes the finality of it all kind of hit you like a ton of bricks. That's why it's a gutting feeling in your stomach.
All right, that story is not going anywhere, and we've got a lot of drama at the quarterback position, to be sure. Theoretically, Drew Brees retiring. We've got Matthew Stafford demanding a trade for the Detroit Lions, and also Deshaun Watson and all the drama still going on with him. We will discuss all that and more when we come back. In particular, what's going to happen with Aaron Rodgers? What do we think about Josh Allen going forward? All that and more.
This is Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
I hope all of you are having a good Monday. I know if you're a Tampa Bay Buccaneer or a Kansas City Chief fan, you certainly are, as we now have the Super Bowl set. But man, I know we just played those audio clips from Aaron Rodgers, but it feels like such a devastating loss for him. And I think we were talking about this a little bit earlier. The toughest thing to do is not to lose a Super Bowl, although losing a Super Bowl is obviously insanely difficult. But getting to a Super Bowl is an accomplishment on some level. Losing in the AFC or the NFC championship game, I think in many ways is tough because you don't get the opportunity to actually reach for the brass ring. You're so close to that destination point of getting to a Super Bowl. And, you know, I feel like for Aaron Rodgers in particular, what he's looking at here is the cold, hard reality that he may never win another Super Bowl or even get to another Super Bowl. And we talked about on Friday and Thursday leading up to these games that Aaron Rodgers had the most at stake by far. Because while we've been gushing over Tom Brady to start this show, if Tom Brady loses in the NFC Championship game, it's still a remarkable season. Now, granted, getting to a 10th Super Bowl and getting there in the first year that you're playing with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers is a monumental achievement. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But for Aaron Rodgers not to win at home and to know that on some level, whether the Packers want to acknowledge it or not, they are interested in moving on beyond Aaron Rodgers. Are they really going to have Jordan Love, their first-round quarterback draft pick, sit for 2 or 3 years of his rookie contract, which is when you get all the value of a rookie contract in the NFL? Are they really going to have him sit on the sideline for another full season, not get many reps, not play at all? That's totally foreign to the way that things work in the NFL. And Aaron Rodgers is a super smart guy. He knows that. And I think a part of him has to be looking on the other sideline with Tom Brady there and thinking, how great would it be if I were able to be a free agent and I could actually sit around and look at all of the available options in the NFL and just see whether or not the Green Bay Packers make sense going forward for me or not. Because I think he's going to sit back and watch this game and he's going to say, we lost it. And I know he's going to say, look, I wasn't perfect. There were decisions that I made that put us in a tough spot, including that interception at the end of the first half. But I think that he's going to look back at the defense at the end of the first half, the touchdown they gave up to Tom Brady, and he's going to say, what in the world were we doing as a coaching staff there? And I think he's going to go back and watch the tape and look when Matt LaFleur sends the field goal kicker jogging onto the field to make it a 5-point game and say, were we aware that we were playing the best quarterback in 20 years of our generation, the greatest quarterback of all time, and you guys took the ball out of my hands so that we could let them run the clock out? And I think he's going to say, I don't feel like this organization right now is best able to maximize my talents. And I know he had a great year, and I know he's MVP, but I think he's going to be really, really down in the dumps for a while. And, you know, the flip side here for Josh Allen, as we were talking about a little bit earlier, the difference between losing when you're in the Super Bowl or close to the Super Bowl as a young guy is, whether it's true or not, you expect to be back there again. You think that you are going to be right on that precipice one more time or two more times or a lot more times if you're the Bills right now and you're Josh Allen and you're waking up. You don't think this was your last best opportunity. I do think that Aaron Rodgers probably in the back of his mind thinks this was his last best opportunity and now it is no longer. And I can't imagine how sick he's going to feel when he wakes up this morning. When we come back, we'll continue to break down AFC and NFC championship games. Sean Merriman scheduled to join us in hour two. Jeff Fisher, formerly of the Titans and the Rams, in hour three. Loaded show for you. This is Outkick on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick, the coverage with Clay Travis, weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.